We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Teenage girl receives a message that defies the laws of this world. All she can do is weep at night.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Today the church remembers the Annunciation of our Lord. It sounds like such a formal thing, the Annunciation of Christ. The angel appears to the Virgin Mary and says, you are going to have a child, and the child conceived in your womb, although you be a virgin, is holy, the Son of God. And it's not just an announcement, it's a conception. By the word of God, by the Holy Spirit, Scripture tells us elsewhere, in the Virgin's womb, 9 months in advance of our celebration of Christmas. Dr. Peter Scarer joins us. He's assistant professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Todd.
I suspect that non-Catholic Christians may be unfamiliar to a degree in the celebration of the Annunciation. Should Christians be leery of observing this day?
Well, I can see why we're unfamiliar with it, because it's one of those fixed days that comes on the 25th of March, which is 9 months away from the birth, so that fits. It's the incarnation of our Lord. We're unfamiliar with it, I suppose, because it doesn't fall on a Sunday, and so a lot of folks never have rarely have the chance to really observe it in their church if they go to church on Sunday. And it's jarring in a way, because it comes in the middle of what is a penitential season, the season of Lent, in which we're focusing on our sins and sorrow for our misdeeds, and also preparing for the passion of our Lord and for his death. So it's an odd thing, I suppose, in this season of repentance, as we near the passion, to all of a sudden be singing a joyful song about the angel Gabriel coming to Mary. But it's a great story, and it really is. It's a seminal moment in human history. So I think it's wonderful that if it's experiencing a revival in our Lutheran Church, which I suppose it is, it's a revival that we should all celebrate.
Where do we find this in the Gospel accounts, this Annunciation, the conception and the incarnation of Christ?
Well, it comes in, as you might guess, from the Gospel of Luke, in the sense that Luke is the portrait painter. He's the one who draws the beautiful pictures, and the artists throughout the ages have picked up on this, that this beautiful scene of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary comes in the beautiful infancy narrative of the Gospel of Luke. And it's a setting in which you have the demure, the humble virgin, beautiful in her piety and in her humility, meeting there the great angel Gabriel. And what a contrast that is. Gabriel, who dwells in the heavens with our Lord and sees our Lord, now comes, I suppose, in awe with a message to Mary that she has been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah.
We're talking here also about the conception of Jesus. What does Scripture tell us elsewhere actually is occurring when the angel makes this announcement to the Virgin Mary?
Yeah, this is the moment of conception. It talks about the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and that's what we're talking about when we say that our Lord was. We confess it every Sunday, conceived by the Holy Ghost or conceived by the Holy Spirit. In the story of the conception, we're told in the story of the announcement. One thing we're told about Mary, that we're told twice about her, that she's a virgin, and that's absolutely essential to the story of the Christian faith. And then Mary reiterates that in her own words, saying, how is this possible that I do not know a man? And the angel Gabriel says, it will be possible because, you know, all things are possible with God. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that will come upon her. It's the power of the Most High that will overshadow her, the same Spirit that hovered over the waters in Genesis, the same glory of God that dwelled in the temple, now comes upon this this humble and lowly virgin. So this is the moment when God first takes occupancy in a permanent way in the human flesh, in the womb, in the stomach, in the womb of Mary. So this affects the way Christians think about everything. It certainly affects the way we think about human life here. It's not just the birth. This is so important today. It's not just the birth of Christ, as in Christmas. But here, our Lord begins where we began, in the womb of our mothers. Right there is a little embryo, and this is great cause for joy.
Tom in San Angelo, Texas, emails us a couple questions. He says, according to a popular Lutheran daily devotional book called Treasury of Daily Prayer, he reads, "The date of the Annunciation falls on March 25th because the ancient church believed that the crucifixion occurred on that date. In antiquity, people linked the day of a person's conception with the day of his or her death, thus the Annunciation. The church joined together both the incarnation of Jesus and the atonement he accomplished." The question that Tom has in San Angelo is, did the date of the conception determine the date of Christmas by counting 9 months forward, or did the date of Christmas determine the date of the Annunciation by counting 9 months backward? Do we know?
I don't know. You know, I think I've heard this before, and who knows, with some of these things, there could be some truth in it. There is something about there might be something in it. But I would not know. I mean, I know the date of Christmas was variously chosen for any number of reasons. Some of the reasons were simply to replace what was a winter or pagan holiday. And now the church has always noted also as well that there is something about March 25th that's significant in the sense that this is the beginning of spring. And there's something about spring that's within the creation itself. Spring is a sign of new life. And the church therefore treated the Annunciation as the beginning of a new life. So if theologically there's a connection, I'm willing to concede that and go with it. Whether historically it happened that way or not, I guess we have to get somebody else to answer that question.
One of the things that the church has always found remarkable in the Annunciation, obviously a distant second to the Incarnation itself, but Mary's response ultimately to the angel's promise and word is, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." What is in there that the church has found so remarkable?
Well, this is the most beautiful expression of faith, which the church then, she's already expressing what our Lord will teach when he prays his Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that thy will be done. And here, she does not understand exactly what's going on. She's in awe, and it's hard for her to comprehend that she, in fact, has been chosen for this, to be the place where God will dwell. So the other thing is this: is the way she identifies herself becomes the mark of how Christians identify themselves. So that this fits in very well with her song, the Magnificat. She identifies herself as a slave woman or as a maid servant, and this is the way that Christians always approach our Lord. They approach in humility because they recognize, one, that God is the creator and that we are the creation. The other is recognize that we are but sinful men and women in this case. And the way salvation works in the Gospel of Luke, the pattern that is repeated over and over is those who lower themselves, those who humble themselves are raised up, and those who raise themselves up are knocked off their thrones. So the high and mighty and the proud will be dashed, will be brought down. But Mary epitomizes what it means to have faith here. And in that sense, she does become here a beautiful role model for the church and for what the church can be and should be in Christ and in faith.
So then with only about 20 seconds, Peter, this day, the Annunciation, it's a big day. I mean, it stands alongside Easter and Christmas, doesn't it, theologically?
Theologically, I think you could make an argument that it's even bigger than Christmas, because this gets the ball rolling. And once he really does enter into the silence, into the quiet, into the hiddenness of Mary's womb. But here he enters into our humanity and takes his place, and takes his place among us. And the plan of salvation cannot be stopped. Our Lord is on his way to the cross and to resurrection, and on his way to being our Savior and King.
Dr. Peter Scare is Assistant Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, thank you.
Real pleasure.
When we come back, we'll continue our series with Ken Samples. I want to call him Doctor. I am elevating him. Ken Samples, Vice President of Theological and Philosophical Apologetics at Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California, author of the book A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. We'll talk about the worldview that we call postmodernism, a slippery thing, but we'll do our best to wrestle it down and see what it is and how it stacks up against the Christian worldview on the other side of this break. And for the last 25 minutes of the program, a big day indeed. The day that had been promised to Adam and Eve at their fall in the Garden of Eden, the day that had been promised that God would send the seed of the woman, his own seed, and the seed of the woman to crush the serpent's head. That's the Annunciation. That is the incarnation of Christ. When the second person of the Trinity, who is co-equal and co-eternal with his Father and the Spirit, steps from his heavenly throne into the womb of the Virgin Mary in human flesh and toward the cross. We'll be right back.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Hindu gods allowed in the Grand Canyon?
Answers with Ken Ham, president of the Apologetics Ministry of Answers in Genesis.
Did you know that at the Grand Canyon in Arizona, the Park Service is allowing Hindu gods to be mentioned? But the park rangers have removed plaques that quoted three of the Bible Psalms. This is the same national park that has no problem with some rock formations named after Hindu gods. So what's really going on here? You know, the Park Service really wants to teach that the canyon's geology and biology can be explained by natural processes over millions of years, without a need for God and a global Noah's flood. They're not getting rid of religion, you see. They're just replacing it with an anti-God religion of evolutionary humanism attempting to explain reality without God. The church must show how biblical history, including Noah's flood a few thousand years ago, is the correct way of explaining the facts of geology. And clearly, only a global flood explains rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. Once the church shows how the Bible explains reality, the culture may once again begin to respect God's word.
Many people don't have a respect for the Bible today because they think it's not reliable. We want to show you that the Bible is true, especially its gospel message. That's shared in a fascinating video, The Last Adam, on the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. For your donation of any amount, we'll send this great DVD to you. Just call us toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.